Athaliah and Jehoram. The Jehoram was the king of Judah prior to Ahaziah taking the throne. And when Jehoram died, Ahaziah took the throne. And then Ahaziah, as we studied on last Wednesday evening, was killed by Jehu. Jehu had been commissioned by the Lord to come against the house of Ahab and destroy the house of Ahab so that there would be no male descendants. Ahaziah was actually a grandson of Jehoshaphat, but he was also the grandson of Ahab. Ahab's daughter had married Jehoshaphat's son, and Ahaziah was the child that was born to them. Ahaziah would not have had to die, but he went down to encourage his relative, who Jehoram, the king of Israel. There was two Jehorams, one king of Judah and one of Israel. And he'd gone down to encourage him and was down there when Jehu came against Jehoram and the house of Ahab. And so he was killed as well. Now, that left only the descendants, only the children of Ahaziah had the right to the throne. Now, Ahaziah's mother, her name was Athaliah. And Athaliah was the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. Athaliah was a lot like her mother. She had her mother's character. She had her mother's worship of false gods. She had her mother's desire to rule and to take control and to be in charge and not to allow God's plan to go forward, but her plan would go forward. So Athaliah, at the death of her son, realizes she has no more sons that can go to the throne. And all the rest of their children had been killed. And so she just had grandsons, the sons of Ahaziah and his wife. Well, we're going to see what Athaliah's got in mind for her grandchildren. And with a grandmother like this, you don't need any enemies. But let's take a look at Athaliah and her plans. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed of the royal house of Judah. Now I want you to understand, who's inspiring this woman? If she's going to rise up and destroy all the royal seed of the house of Judah. In other words, all those that could ascend to the throne of Judah. If you look at what had God promised, what is the royal seed of the house of Judah? That is the throne of David. It's the descendants of David. What had God promised? God promised that the throne of David would be ruled and reigned by the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah. At various times throughout history, Satan has attempted to destroy the line of David so that God's word could not be fulfilled. This is one of those times. Another of these times was at the time that Jesus was actually born. And those of you who were here during the Christmas messages, I brought four messages about Christmas. And the last message we looked at Herod, who wasn't even a Jew, but rather an Edomite, and had the spirit of Athaliah, even though they weren't related, but he had that spirit. It was the spirit driven by Satan and not by God. And he desired to kill all the babies under two that were born in Bethlehem about the time that Jesus would have been born to try and kill Jesus. That, again, was Satan's attempt to stop the line of the Messiah's coming. Had Athaliah been able to do what she intended to do, there would be no line of David any longer. And there wouldn't have been a seed of David to go forward, and the Messiah would not have come according to what God had promised. So this woman was definitely demonically inspired of Satan, and the God she worshipped definitely gave her this inspiration. So she's killing all of her grandsons, all of the seed of the house of David. And Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. Now, I want you to get all the connections here. This woman who steals one of the grandsons of Athaliah was the sister-in-law of Athaliah. She was the sister of Athaliah's husband, and she was she steals or hides the grandson. She's the mother. She's the sister of Ahaziah, and Athaliah is her mother as well. So she steals one of her mother's grandchildren, which would be her nephew, and hides him. Now, why would she be inspired to do that? Well, first of all, she's a godly woman, even though she's coming from this ungodly house. But she's got a very godly husband. And her husband is Jehoiada. And Jehoiada is the priest. He's the high priest. And Jehoiada is a very godly man. And Jehoiada wants to do the will of God. So even though his wife is the daughter of this woman who's killing all the children, and she's the brother of the king who has been killed, he encourages his wife to take this last living grandson and hide him. And so Jehoiada and his wife take this grandson and they hide him from Athaliah, so she does not know that this child hasn't been killed. She thinks all of the grandchildren have, all the grandsons have been killed. And he was with them in the house of God for 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. And so Athaliah, her full intent was she would reign. Now I wanted you to take a look at, if you look at the history of the nation of Israel and how God had established who was to rule and who was to be in charge of the land, it was never to be a woman. As a matter of fact, it was prophesied that if a woman would rule Israel, it would be a sign of God's judgment on the land. And this was definitely not God's rule when Athaliah was in charge. She was a wicked, wicked woman who ruled to undo everything that the Lord had been doing in the hearts of His people. She desired to do with the spirit that she possessed from her mom, Jezebel, she desired to bring to an end all that God stood for. This was that woman. God said that if a woman would rule, it would be a sign of judgment. This was a sign of His judgment from the ungodly, her ungodly son and her ungodly husband, who had a godly influence from Jehoshaphat, the father and the grandfather of these boys, yet they had both chosen to identify rather with the house of Ahab than the house of David. And they did not rule after their father David and didn't rule with their whole hearts in obedience to God. And in the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of the hundreds, Azariah, the son of Jehoram, and Ishmael, the son of Jehoiachin, and Azariah, the son of Obed, and Ziah, the son of Adaiah, and Bishaphat, the son of Zikri, into covenant with him. And so he took these men that he could trust that were godly men, and he brought them and had an agreement that he made with them. Now, what was this agreement? Well, the agreement is how they're going to get rid of Athaliah and bring to rule the right and the rightly heir to the throne, of David, that is a true descendant of David. And they went out to Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Now, I wonder, why did they gather these particular people? Well, who were the Levites? And why were the Levites scattered throughout Israel? Well, the Levites were scattered throughout Israel because if you remember, when they, their inheritance of the land was they didn't inherit any land, but because of their faithfulness, when they were going through the desert and defending the Lord, when rebellion was occurring in the camp, and they stood with Aaron and Moses, and so the Levites were blessed, and that they would be the ones that would be the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel, and they were to have what they referred, what the Lord called suburbs of the city, around the cities of Israel. And that is, they would have little groups of inheritance at the cities of Israel. And part of the thing is, they were to be there to be the spiritual directors of Israel, to encourage the people to follow the law and to follow the word of the Lord. And there were also certain sons of Aaron had responsibilities with the temple worship and were to lead the actual worship where all the people would come together to worship the Lord. So that's why he's gathering the Levites, because they should be the ones that should be committed to the authority and the word of God. And they should also be willing to follow the direction of the high priest. And he also gets the leaders of the various tribes of Israel and gathers them together. And he gathers them together in Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. Now the king is 7 years old. I want you to understand this. He's not a man. He's a boy. And he's 7 years old, but he's in the house of God. He's lived in the temple for the last 7 years. And partially, his mother, or his grandmother rather, probably wouldn't be looking for a grandson in the temple. She didn't really want to go to the temple. She wanted nothing to do with God. So it's a pretty safe place to hide him. And he grew up there. And he said unto them, "Behold, the king's son shall reign, and the Lord hath said of the, as the Lord hath said of the sons of David." And he's telling these men, God is able to keep his promise, and he is going to keep his promise, and we have a descendant of the son of David, and he shall reign. Now, Jehoiada, understands that these men, are looking for, an answer from the Lord, and they're also looking for direction from the Lord, because you have to believe they were no more encouraged about sitting under the rule of Athaliah than anybody else was, because she was a wicked, wicked woman. This thing is the thing you shall do. A third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and the Levites shall be porters of the doors. In other words, a third of the group of the Levites that were there were going to be guarding the doors. They're going to be porters of the doors, stand by the doors. And the third part shall be at the king's house. And the king's house, and those of you who remember when we were looking at when Solomon built the structures on the Mount, Temple Mount, the king's house was built up on the Temple Mount. So the king's house would be up there as well. And the third part were to be at the king's house. So a third of these men were to be at the doors to the temple, a third at the king's house. And then he also says, and the third part, the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. And so he says the third part of the Levites will be at the foundation. That is how the way that you would get up to the temple. So a third are at the bottom, a third are at the king's house, a third are at the temple, and then all the rest of the people, all the rest of, will be gathered in the court. And the people's court up on the Temple Mount. Now, why did he want this done? It says, "But let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord." Now, I want you to understand something here. He's involving everybody that wants to really follow God is involved in this. The Levites, and they're the ones, and the priests, The priests are the ones that have the right to come in, and they're the ones that offer sacrifice. These priests are to go in to the temple. Everybody else is to take their stations, if they're a Levite, on the one of the three, a third, and a third, and a third. And then the rest of the people who are desiring to seek God's will done are to gather, and they will be part of this, what's going to, the event that's going to occur. And it says here in verse 7, and the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man and his weapons in his hand, and whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death, but ye shall with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. So, this third part of the Levites is with the king. They're to have their weapons, and we're going to see that they take shields and swords that are in the house of David, that are the swords and shields that David left, and they are going to take those, and they're going to surround the king, and they are going to be his personal guards so that nothing can happen to him, because they know that Athaliah will desire to have him killed. The minute she finds out he's living, she's like Hamas today. She loves death. And she has no desire. She has no mercy on her own family. Her own grandchildren she puts to death because they're a threat to her. Hamas has people put to death because they're a threat to them. They'd rather have them put to death than have their enemy Israel attack them. And so they put innocent civilians or those that haven't really done anything to deserve, they hide behind them. That is the type of woman that Athaliah was. She put people to death. She was a woman who loved death. And so the Levites and all Judah did according to all the things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath, and with them that were to go out on the Sabbath, and Jehoiada and the priests dismissed not the courses. Now, what does he mean, dismissed not the courses? Remember when we studied during Christmas and we were looking at John the Baptist and his birth, remember that his dad, Zechariah, was partaking of what it was his turn to go in and light the incense of the in the temple, because it was his turn for his course to do it, and it was his turn because he was one of the in the course that was responsible for that. Well, the same thing was happening here. Different courses of the descendants of Aaron would have different responsibilities, and after they were done, when Zechariah was done with his course, they dismissed him and he went home. Jehoiada is telling him, you're not to go home. Everybody's to stay here. Why? Because they're going to, number one, honor the king when he is commissioned and anointed king. And secondly, they're to be there to protect the king from his own grandmother and to make sure nothing happens to him. And so we see here that they're not to be dismissed. Verse 9. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered the captains of hundreds and spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And remember, Athaliah hadn't taken these out of the house of God. And she may or may not have even known they were there. She really wanted nothing to do with the Lord's house except to destroy it. But the thing is, David's shields and swords and weapons and protective gear were all still there. And so they took these, and he set all the people, every man, having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along the altar and the temple by the king round about. And then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. So the last living heir of David is brought out, and he's a 7-year-old boy, and they put the crown on him and anoint him with oil as God had commanded that they do to the kings. And this is a sign that the Spirit of God was to be with this man, that God had chosen him. And so that is done. And then they say, God save the king. Well, what's the response when that happens? Now, when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and the people of the land rejoiced and sounded, and the trumpets also, the singers and the trumpets, music such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, "Treason, treason." Isn't it amazing? Nothing seems to change. The people that are the biggest exhibitors of treason are the first to accuse of treason to those that aren't treasonous. In the day in which we live, those that are ungodly, everything they say about the godly is what they're doing. And that's exactly what Athaliah did. She's yelling treason, treason, because it was treason against her, but it wasn't treason against God. This was God's plan. This was God's chosen. This was God's anointed. This was to be of the house of David, and this was the last heir in the line of the house of David, and this was God's plan. And if anybody was treasonous, it was Athaliah, not Jehoiada and the priests and the people of Judah that were honoring and worshiping at the Lord at the king's anointing. Then Jehoiada, the priest, brought out the captains of the hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, "Have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword." For the priest said, "Slay her not in the house of the Lord." So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. And what he meant is anybody who's going to pick up a sword and try and defend her or follow her or claim that they're with her, that she's the rightful queen, slay them. Why? Because they're treasonous. They're not only treasonous against the new king, anointed king, they're treasonous against God. And this woman deserved death because she was trying to come against the Lord's plan for the throne of David that he promised David would be inhabited forever by his descendant, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you can go and look at the lineage that are given in Matthew and Luke, and you will see that this lineage would have been broken had Athaliah's plan been rendered effective. And so we see that even though men may have the best plans to try and come against God and His purposes and His wills, who's in control? The Lord's in control. And just as He had Esther there during the time of Malachi and during the Persian Empire, when Esther was the one that was able to be used of God to have the ear of the king, and God always has His people in place for His purposes, even though it seems like Satan's winning. Even though Haman, during that time, had gotten the king to decree that all the Jews should be slain, yet there was a means by which God was going to have them delivered. And part of that means was Esther. And so we see that God has His people in His place for His purposes in His time. And His promises and His prophecies will not be negated, but will be fulfilled. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You just help us to understand that men cannot come against You. They scheme and they try, but You sit in heaven and You have them in derision. And Lord, You are laughing at their schemes because they are so helpless in their ability to try and come against the Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, help us to realize this, that just as You were able to continue to fulfill Your promises, in light of the house of Ahab, even in interfering with the house of Judah, that, Lord, you can will make fulfillment of your promises of your second coming, and when you come to rapture your church, and then later come to rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth. Lord, be with us now and help us to honor and to worship and praise your name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 675, 675.